There's a picture out there that I use that there's a kid and Jesus is standing by the kid's desk, right? And that the idea is like Jesus is in the room with you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have that relationship with him because he's not looking at you like, oh, good, you got your homework in. I love you, right? He's like, no, I made you and I love you. And so that's our foundation in prayer is like, you want to know this Jesus. Like, we want that to be cultivated here.
Welcome to the BJU Press Teacher Edition podcast, where Christian educators are encouraged and inspired as we bring you interviews, practical ideas, strategies, and answer your questions about teaching in today's culture. And here's your host, Jenny Copeland.
We're ready to unpack a powerful but often forgotten element in Christian education. It is one that applies to all students and all teachers, but it is so often taken for granted or not accessed. But just before we jump into that, let me remind you again to take a minute and subscribe to the podcast. If you have friends who aren't listening in, please share this podcast with them. They may be needing a boost, some encouragement, maybe just some new ideas for their classroom, and we trust that this podcast can be that for them. Don't forget to follow us on social media. We are Teacher Edition Podcast on Facebook, and you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Teacher Edition Pod. We would love it also if you would take a minute and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps people find the show. And lastly, I want to invite you to go to our website, teachereditionpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to our emails, and you can also submit your stories and your questions. They can be funny stories or stories of blessings in your classroom, and we look forward to receiving those as well as your questions and then sharing them on the show. As we have questions and stories to share, we'll share those at the end of the episode, so always be sure to listen all the way to the end of every interview. Now, speaking of interviews, I want to welcome Dr. Christy Peterson to the show. Christy is the superintendent of Faith Bible Christian School in Hillsboro, Oregon. She has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Liberal Studies, a Master's in Early and Middle School Regular and Special Education, and an EDD in Educational Leadership as well. And she has served in a number of educational roles, including a teacher, Title I coordinator, principal, university professor, and even a bus driver. She's covered it all. Joining her is Sarah Stortro, the Spiritual Formation Director and the middle school principal there at Faith Bible Christian School. Sarah has a degree in youth ministry, and that is her heartbeat every day as she's serving there. So Christy and Sarah, welcome to the Teacher Edition podcast.
Hello.
Hi, Jenny. Thank you for having us.
I'm excited you're here. So today we're going to talk about prayer. You know, prayer is such a privilege, and yet so often we take it for granted. We cut it short, and you know, often in schools, Christian schools, it just serves as the start to our class or maybe a start to a chapel time. But it is, and it should be far more than that. The focus of a Christian school should be Christ and being Christ-like, but how can we be like him if we don't know him and we don't communicate with him? So Christy and Sarah, let's start there with the basics. Talk with us about what it means to be a follower of Christ.
Mm-hmm. So in our organization, in our leadership team, as we're preparing for the school year, we've had this exact conversation. And through Sarah's leadership and through prayer, we've decided to pursue how do we have opportunities for our students to be with Jesus. Because we know the best part of prayer and being with Jesus is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And in that relationship, then our kids can learn to be like Jesus and then to live like Jesus. And so that aligns so well with our vision and our mission. So just really having that as an emphasis has been huge for us.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The idea that she brought to the table was being a Bible scholar and a Jesus follower, right? So when you're here, we're looking to impart that idea of being a Bible scholar, Jesus follower. I would say that one of our missions here at Faith Bible has become very clear to have every student to have the opportunity to receive Jesus, right, as their Lord. But not only that, have an encounter that they're able to share. Right? That they're not just following Jesus, but they are compelled to share their story. Like, how did Jesus encounter you? Why did you give your life to Jesus? What does it mean for them to be a Christ follower? How do they communicate that? And that's one thing that has been really great. We start every one of our spiritual formation meetings with that idea. And then also like just declaring that every student at Faith Bible will be able to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that we started to sing that song this year, and it was just powerful. I can just feel the Spirit of God in that moment, because that's powerful. Because if you can have a kid exit high school knowing what it means to be a Jesus follower and being able to share it, they're really set up for a lot of things, I believe, in their what they're going to encounter outside of the comfort of this kind of a schooling.
Mm-hmm. And for us to be clear, as leaders, we have a spiritual formation team of 11 adults across our pre-K-12 system. And God was showing off during the interview process when he was bringing us worship intern pastors who wanted to be a third grade teacher, and middle school folks that are considering getting their MDivs. He was really key in bringing us last fall these folks that love him, know how to pray, and are passionate only about teaching, but also about helping us curate our Bible classes and our teaching spaces for students to encounter Jesus. That's unique for our organization because we do not affiliate with a particular church. We actually serve 104 different congregations, if you will. So we have to be really clear about the discipleship model and prayers are distinctive as a school.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it's really cool. Like unity, right, is part of what we've really been focusing on is unity. And really with the 104 different churches, we being a follower of Jesus and what it takes to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to believe in what he did for you on the cross, that is the unifier.
And seeing the kids respond. Mm-hmm. We're excited to tell you about how they've responded to that.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a great foundation. So connecting with our focus for today, how do you see prayer as the driving force in being a follower of Christ?
So prayer for us is that back to that meaningful encounter. I love Mother Teresa's quote in how she lived her life when she was asked, you spend an hour every day adoring and loving your Savior, and then the rest of the day seeing his face in the face of the others that you encounter with. And we've been intentional in leading out in that way with our students. And so with students that are, you know, 4 years old to our 17, 18 year olds, it's been that level of intentionality with prayer in giving them tools in their classroom spaces or in their chapel spaces so that they can cultivate healthy rhythms themselves, I think has been really helpful. So using some really good resources from 24/7 Prayer. I don't know if the listeners know that 24/7 Prayer is a beautiful organization out of London with Pete Gregg's work on how to pray and God listening, as well as he's just written a handbook on how to pray for young explorers. And then 24/7 Prayer is out of Portland, Oregon. And so having some great resources in teaching our students in the morning, waking up, spending time. And it's not a religious obligation. It's, again, the best part about prayer is Jesus and spending time and then operating from that place of being beloved. And then how do you spend the rest of your day encountering? Yeah. Lunchtime is focusing on a prayer for the lost. And then how do you at nighttime, how do we teach our students to do the examine prayer, which is a prayer of gratitude? God, where were you in my life today? How did I partner with you? Was I able to partner with you? Spirit, did I hear you? Have I in this huge world that's just filled with so many distractions, have I learned or been shown how to just listen to your voice and your love for me?
Yeah, it's so good. One of the ways that we focus on relationship, right? It's so easy for Christianity or to be a follower of Christ is about rules, right? Like religion, rules, like all of that. And it could be a tendency in school to foster that, right? Because we're rule, like we have to have rules and structures and all of the things, right? And so one of the things that I always say is that like we are the beloved, we are the beloved, not the do-loved, right?
That's
we're not
good.
Like God doesn't call us the do-loved. Like I try to impart that a lot through middle school, but also into our team, that we want to create a space where prayer is an overflow in relationship. Like Jesus is their best friend, right? Mm-hmm. And for a kid, there's a picture out there that I use that there's a kid and Jesus is standing by the kid's desk, right? And that the idea is like Jesus is in the room with you and you're going to have that relationship with him because he's not looking at you like, oh, good, you got your homework in. I love you, right? He's like, no, I made you. And I love you. And so that's our foundation in prayer is like, you want to know this Jesus like, we want that to be cultivated here, that he's an exciting friend to become like, to live like, to know, and to spend time with. And I will say, in middle school, you know, we need a lot of prayer, right? Everybody can relate with that. They work in middle school, right? We need
They're
Jesus.
Constantly praying.
We need Jesus. We're yeah. always praying. Yeah. And I just say that, you know, that driving force, like, I make it real clear, like, prayer is the only reason God is doing anything in our school.
Yeah. Right.
You know, just inviting him yeah. to be the Lord and the King, the yes. beginning of every morning with middle school staff. We're like putting him on the throne. You're on the throne. We're behind mm-hmm. you today, Jesus. And the fruit of just prayer being at the center, at the forefront of every day with my team, has radically changed middle school. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing that we can do. God's doing it, right? And it's really cool. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's us as adults growing in prayer, right? Mm-hmm. Having, encouraging those rhythms of prayer as mm-hmm. adults and modeling them. And then modeling usually is what kids follow, not like mm-hmm. do, right? So we're able to continue to have a relationship with Jesus mm-hmm. and to, you know, really come against that spirit of religion that can actually come in and take the joy of being a Jesus follower. So,
yeah, right. Which I think one of the things in our spiritual formation team that we uncovered last year is, how do we in chapel, because for us last year, the whole year, the focus of chapel was prayer.
Yeah.
And we're like, wait, the whole year?
That's great.
How are we going to do that?
Yeah, it's true,
right, and what we discovered is there's a lot of really good resources for pre-K 12 on prayer. Yeah. I mentioned the 24/7 Pete Griggs material for students, but we've also discovered some great materials from Tales That Tell the Truth, and their first book on prayer is called Anytime, Any Place, and Any Prayer: The True Story of How You Can Talk with God. And we really led out with that at that elementary chapel level and really fostered that. And it was so cool because after we had done several chapels with this material and teaching them to pray, we started a prayer box for the kids to put their prayers in. And the elementary principal reported that she thought, oh, well, you know, we would get a few in next chapel, you know, answer a few prayers or pray over them. Within that next school day, that box was full of their prayers. Mm-hmm. Kids were That's just awesome. Really engaging with that opportunity. And so just creating those spaces with that intentionality, there's prayer is so deep. So that's some examples. High school too. We just had some very interactive, experiential kinds of things for kids in prayer, and then praying for each other, and then tried to model that for them really well, either with guest speakers who would come in and those kinds of things.
Yeah, I really like how you mentioned the modeling and being an example, because we as the teachers or the administration or whatever, how do we approach prayer? You know, again, is this a quick prayer as we're starting chapel or starting class and we just race through because that's how we start class? Or are we really stopping to talk to the Lord and take our requests to him and sharing with the students what we're praying about or how the Lord is answering our prayer? And, you know, that's mm-hmm. contagious. So I love that yes. you pointed that out. Let's bring this, we're talking school, obviously, but let's mm-hmm. bring it even more into the school. You've talked spiritual formation at school. Mm-hmm. What is spiritual formation and how are students spiritually formed, if you want to say it that way?
Yeah. That's a really, really good question.
Go ahead,
yeah, because I think, the spiritual formation, I was actually thinking this is a good time to bring that in because we're just throwing that word out there, right?
Absolutely.
And one of the things that we realized, and maybe there'll be a good time to talk about the pew, is that the idea is that something is forming the students. Right?
That's right.
It might be their cell phone, right? Their environment is forming them.
Their peers.
Mm-hmm.
And so
hopefully their families.
Their families, mm-hmm. right? And we really actually were just realizing that like something's forming them. Mm-hmm. And we were struggling with some things in our school. And we're like, okay, that is the cell phone's forming them on that. Mm-hmm. Right? And so when we were talking about developing the spiritual formation team before God brought everybody, it was like, we need a focus on this because they spend a lot of time with us at school. So we want to be partnering in the relationship with churches and parents to be able to be a part of forming them and not mm-hmm. just have them be here and tolerate them and tolerate all this. We want to actually have an action plan. So we read this book.
Yep. Dr. Alan Pugh has written a book called Rethinking Discipleships, Why Christian Schools Matter. Super powerful book for our team, leadership team. We also are going through the ACSI accreditation process. And so that's a mechanism for really doing a deeper dive, right? But Dr. Pugh really makes a point of pointing out that, and the reminder in the partnership piece with the parents is that typically a dad spends 15 minutes a day with their students in a face-to-face conversation. If we're lucky, kids get to spend about 47 hours in church each year. But as a school, kids get to spend 1,350 hours with us. And so what are we really doing with that time and space? As a new administrator into Faith Bible, this is my third semester. As a 34-year educator, I just came out of over 20-something years in public school. And I was just kind of really giddy with the thought of, I get to talk about instructional minutes and prayer and spiritual formation, and let's go. And so I had this administrative team that I think appreciated that opportunity to just open everything up and say, what does it look like? What are our resources? And how can we focus on this? And the idea that our kids are not the church tomorrow, our kids are the church today, now, and God is calling them to be responsible for the souls of their generations. And so we want to be sure that we're equipping our students to reach their peers, to living their lives as beloved, but having an encounter with Jesus so that they're able to share that. And so spiritual formation is the way that we're doing that. And right now, Christian schooling has always mattered. But the huge change and shift that I'm seeing as someone who was educated in Christian schools and raised my three children in Christian schools is this idea that Christian schools, many have wanted to maybe lead with spiritual formation, but may have been more of a college prep athletic school with smaller classroom sizes, maybe a little more evangelistic. And we're being intentional about saying, especially here in the Pacific Northwest and in Oregon, no, our model is discipleship. And we want to partner with parents to make sure that when your kiddos leave Faith Bible, these are the characteristics that we want to see in our graduates. And we've developed our graduate portrait. And our graduate portrait is based on Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so our acronym is FAITH, and it's called Live by Faith is our graduate portrait. And each letter stands for something. So the F is faithful to love. The A is always persevere. The I is integrity at all times. The T is take responsibility, and the H is have respect. But the faithful to love, we haven't called out prayer, but prayer and spiritual formation is the foundation of our portrait of graduates. So yes, your child is going to be college and career ready, but they're not going to be successful by the world standards. They may be unsuccessful by the world standards in the fact that they are hearing God's word, and we believe in his voice, and that we believe that that is the most successful thing about them, is being able to understand who they are and how God may be equipping them in their life. So spiritual formation for us has been a bit of an exciting area for us to learn and grow and recalibrate as a school coming back off into a full-time school model.
One of the things that's in our foundation for the 47 years that Faith has been around is the idea of knowing who you are and whose you are, right? And so identity is a huge part of our spiritual formation, because when you think about what is spiritual formation, really like a technical definition is it focuses on the deepening of one's relationship with Christ. Right? That's really spiritual formation, is Imago Dei. It's like, this is who you are. God has created you. In Genesis 12, you know, that mandate to Abraham, he's saying that God has created you to be formed into a people who reflect God into the world. And in doing so, point the world back to God. That's spiritual formation, right? The more that you pour into a student who they are in Christ, the more they are going to reflect that, right? Because you cannot give out of what you don't have. So we have them for 1,350 hours a year in middle school. I'm 1,350 hours a year focused on making sure they know who they are in Christ, right? There's truths and then there's unique. There's ways that God made them unique. And so we are really forming our culture and our opportunities around making sure every kid has an opportunity, whether they're an athlete. So we do athletics through spiritual formation, right? Mm-hmm. How are we glorifying God? How are we being a light? We do music through spiritual formation. Like, spiritual formation is like the cog in the wheel, right? It's the, okay, how are we, what does it look like to spiritually form in math class, right? How are you pointing them to Jesus, pointing them to who God created them to be, realizing that we're in a lifelong process of spiritual formation. Like, I am maybe the principal, but I have not arrived, right? I am constantly being formed, and I'm constantly having to learn how to guard myself from things that are trying to form me that are not, just like a student is inundated. And it's like, we have to be pouring in. I know I have a middle school student, right? So I have three kids. My youngest is in middle school with me now. And because of our COVID and the way it was handled in Oregon, you know, we were forced into isolation for a lot of years. And in those years, you see a generation in middle school right now where the cell phone formed them at very formative times.
Yeah.
And that is what's been poured in. And so I just see it as a glass I have to keep pouring, because that's pouring. And I'm like, okay, we got to keep going, keep pouring. Math class, we got to talk about it. You know, handwriting, all the things, everywhere we go, we are looking for that. And we're looking for them to also understand that this is empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? This is a relationship. This is something that God is, He wants to go on that treasure hunt with you because He made you. Yeah, He knows everything. And so that's kind of a simple definition of spiritual formation. It's not as hard as you think, right? It's not this big thing. It's actually really cool. I found out that they do have like a master's degree now in spiritual formation. So that kind of shows me, here in Oregon, one of the schools that this
Christian
is
University.
Christian University mm-hmm. has a master's in spiritual formation. So that's really exciting to see. Because we can definitely understand that we can educate kids, right? And we can empower them and equip them for what is ahead. But really, the model of a Christian school is to also empower them in how God made them to be in the truth and teach them the truth mm-hmm. about what does the Bible say, mm-hmm. right? Because we're right. in a very gray time in our world, and black. We want to teach them what is black and white. And what does the Bible say? And BJU has been a huge tool for us
yes.
in that.
Thank
actually,
you for saying that.
In biblical worldview yep. and helping our teachers know how to bring biblical worldview and what God says into math class, science class, history class has been actually invaluable, because we want to be a Christian school, not a conservative experience. Right. And too often we're finding that the conservative focuses a lot on evangelism, right? And it is not easy to do spiritual formation in that model, right? Because
right.
it's so we've gotten real clear on who we are and what we offer at Faith. And that has been very helpful. But that's part of our other questions.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned the curriculum with BJU mm-hmm. because one of the things that we were working through is having an aligned curriculum for Bible.
Yeah.
As an organization. And that's not something we had that we had. So it's the first thing that we did three semesters ago. And I will say the reason why we picked BJU in particular is because there's an intentionality that we're learning from BJU specifically, not only for the curriculum side of things in Bible classes, but that we can take that same level of intentionality in creating our chapel experiences and our retreat experiences and all of and our parent partnership. And so that's been a great support and vehicle for us.
That's powerful. Wow. Yeah, I am so glad that we're taking time to talk specifically yeah. about prayer. That's definitely something that's overlooked. And I appreciate how you're pointing out the intentionality in giving students a biblical worldview. So important. You know, we've covered a lot of ground, but we still have more to come. Part one of this episode may be finished, but the conversation around this topic is not. Listeners, be sure to join us for part two, where we'll talk more with Christy and Sarah about what great things they're seeing God do there at Faith Bible. But we're also going to pick their brains for ideas, those practical ideas of how you can make prayer a priority at your school as well. There's more great conversation coming your way in part two. Don't miss out. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you were challenged and encouraged as I was. Remember to go to teachereditionpodcast.com to submit questions for upcoming episodes. Of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media. Now, it's time to get back to your day. But it's not just any day, because every day in the classroom is your day to impact and inspire through God's power and through His grace working in you. Go do what God has called you to do.